I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Kuma 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 Bear. Probably threw in an extra Kuma there too, just to be on the extra side in case, just in case. But yeah, that is what we're talking about today. And it was by recommendation of Jeb in our Discord server. But before that, we were talking about how much Rick truly loves the patron exclusive episode we're going to be watching. And in case you didn't catch this from our last episode, we're going to be talking about Cowboy Bebop live action. And on top of that, if you're a member of our patrons, you have access to our exclusive pre-show banter that we always talk about. Here's some of his saltiness right there. And you can also see the patron exclusive channel where we both rant, or I at least ranted about some of the changes that came right off the bat that popped off to me. But if you want to catch all that bonus content, all that wonderful extra stuff, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will actually get you all that bonus content, those bonus episodes. And we got one coming out here in the next week. It'll be Cowboy Bebop live action. And now, sir, on to the meat and potatoes. Something a little bit more joyful, a little bit better. It tastes better, smells better. It's just all around better and a little bit more comfy and soft when you cuddle up to it. Kuma 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 Bear, which is a adventure comedy fantasy anime. It's based off of a light novel. It aired from October 2020 through December 2020, which is pretty new, pretty recent. Producers for it are Nippon Columbia Crest. Its studio is EMT Squared. And it is a live action, or I'm sorry.
What was that?
Not live what action. It is an isekai. I got to make sure you're paying attention. I mean, like, we could be talking about Cowboy Bebop here, man. I know your soon to be favorite show.
We're not talking about it here. We're not going there. I'm one episode in, and it's already
enjoyable, to say the least. Was this anime Kuma 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 Bear? And I'm just gonna start, you know, saying that literally the name itself is really fun to say. I really enjoyed saying the name a lot, actually.
Every time you were saying it, all I can do is like, Kuma 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 Chameleon. But it is
one of those, you know, I'm going to tell you this right now. This being an isekai is really done well, and it's done tastefully. So it's not like the main character is overpowered ridiculously. So I mean, like, she is really overpowered, but I'm saying
ridiculously,
it's like
ridiculously. So,
all right, hang on. What I'm saying is, it's not like she can one punch anything comes her way.
One punch.
Right.
That's fair. So what I think, let me start off by saying that I looked at this and it looked campy. It looked just, I didn't want to watch it. And it's one of the things that I'm really glad that we do this, because even though I don't want to watch it, it was really good. It's really, really good.
It's way better than I was expecting. Way better. 100%.
I don't know if you've been a long time anime connoisseur, let's say, you'll notice certain things that go on. You'll notice when an anime is geared towards boys, typically, mm-hmm. or when it's geared toward girls, typically, when they're neutral and when they're definitely not. A good anime that, honestly, a really good anime that was geared towards girls would have been All Round Host Club,
Yes. Well, which is exactly what it is. This, I feel, though, is geared towards everyone.
It's, yeah, there's no, yeah, there's no subset. This would be more neutral one, but it didn't give you, it had a little flavor for everything.
Yeah.
Typically, yeah, in when it's geared towards boys more so, usually the adolescent boys, you'll see a lot of fan service, a lot of what I would have considered at that, and when I was an adolescent, edgy stuff where, you know, everyone's got big boobs and they're just anti-gravity boobs, like in
yeah, no, I,
in that show,
you know, I get it. Hey, you know, hey, it's all right. Like, you gotta Matrix love style. What you love. It's all right.
Matrix style boobs rolling all over the place from between bullets and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
Was it High School of the Dead or High School
XD? Yes, it was High School of the Dead. Yes.
Yeah, that was definitely geared towards adolescent boys, and it was awesome. But this one, so my general, what I like to see anime where our main character knows what they are. Specifically, if they're overpowered, they're not like cocky about it, like I'm going to rule the world. Although that's also got an appeal. Overlord, come on. Overlord's freaking amazing. I love it. I hope to get more. Like, I just want more.
Well, you know, I'm waiting for when season four comes out. I've really loved the trailer for it. So,
yeah, the trailer was awesome. I'm so glad there's no more lizard sex.
Season two. Nice. No, but this is really, I want to say this is really laxed and it's,
yeah,
it's got a nice, no solid story. It's not pressure. It's something that you can easily follow. It has a cohesive story to it. And it really follows the main character, which is Yuna, and her journey through everything. It's not like she doesn't have any struggles per se. She does have some struggles. But at the same
they're not the main story.
And they're awesome. Exactly. It's kind of like a side story. I loved how it was crafted, how it really came together. So it's really her main purpose or what ends up happening is she's isekai'd into this world because she's basically staying most of her time in a virtual reality anyways. And she doesn't really believe in anything or anything like that. She doesn't go to school. And she's basically given this bear costume and she's told, it's like, well, since you have money and you love money and this and that, and you believe in yourself, you don't really believe in anything else. You know, it's like, well, we'll throw you here and just see kind of how you do.
Well, the way that came about, I really liked because it showed that he doesn't really have an attachment. So in the first episode, it's established that while she doesn't necessarily have an attachment to the real world, she makes money via stock or cryptocurrency or something that lets her stay home. And she's like, I'm not going to go to school anymore because I don't need it. My parents stopped bothering me after I gave them even more money. So, you know, that's my relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I really don't have any friends because I don't need them. They're just a drag. And she goes, I spend most of my time in my virtual reality game because I enjoy it there. And she maxed out her level.
Yeah. And well, her level's not maxed out yet.
No. And when, so.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Before she got isekai, before she got brought in. Yes. She was already maxed out. And and her reaction is kind of funny. I feel when she realizes her level ain't maxed out anymore. And she's kind of going through and testing her limitations. And
which is something that, it's a real response.
Yes.
Which it I is. Love. It's a genuine, what would you do? Well, I would do this. Okay. Why? Well, because I'd want to know what I can do. I'd want to know what my limitations are. I want to know what boundaries I can push, where I can go, things like that. And what my handicap is. Cause it's not, you're not going to be all powerful for no reason. Somebody's going to come in and whoop your ass. Like every anime I've ever seen, where the guy's like, I'm all powerful. 3 minutes later, he's in a crater on the ground looking like Yamcha.
Right. And that's one of the things is they kind of touch on that. They show that she does have limitations in some fashion. right? And it's shown at the very beginning, like, you know, okay, here's a preview as to what she's going to be, and you're immediately set up with, there is a limitation to this, and which I am really happy about. And then they further elaborate on that again towards the end as well. Like, there are limitations. She is not all powerful. She can't just, like, as in, but you know, she's when close. Right, she's close. But even then, like, in order for her to be able to reach that point where she was at, she still reached her limit, and she needed someone to help bring her back. Right, it took everything she had for her to defeat this giant kraken.
So what I thought was kind of interesting is specifically with that. So she's in a bear costume. So when she's isekai'd, right before she's isekai'd, the game admin comes to her and says, hey, you've logged in a stupid amount of hours, a crazy amount of hours. Right. As a reward, you get to choose any one of these. And she chooses one at random, and she gets a bear costume. This is important because the bear costume's OP as all hell.
It is. And again, you know, like I had said earlier, right after she gets it, she is testing the limitations right after she gets it, right after she's teleported into the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they go through that. They also reference that she has a lot of money, and the questions that she asked her, again, you know, is like, she only really truly believes in herself. She believes more so in herself than anything else. And she still has the money there. You know, they gave her the money, or rather, God, the admin,
yeah,
gave her the money because it specifically says God. Oh, this is a message from God, you know, and they're playing with it. And I'm glad that they had some fun with it. I'm glad that it was something that really didn't feel forced. I want to say
true, but I hate to do this. I got to go back to it. The mechanics of the suit that she got outside of the thing I liked the most about this whole story was the vulnerability, because without the suit, she's truly a level one.
Yes.
She's truly just flat out unable to do hardly anything. And the suit in the very end, not the very end, when she was fighting the Kraken, not the very end, damn, when she's fighting the Kraken, she said something that kind of frustrated me because they didn't delve further into it.
Well, they didn't really need to, right? And it makes sense as to why. So what she said is, I wish I could just like flip the suit around and turn it inside out, so that way I'm the white bear, because she has a white and black glove and she has a white and black paw. And it's not really explained upon until that moment, until she gets to the moment with the Kraken, because she's like HP regeneration, MP regeneration, strength, abilities, all the stuff. And she's leveling up. And then she says, if I could switch to the other one, I would be able to regenerate, but I can't exactly do that here. It's not feasible, which is great. Yes. It explains that there is no feasible
because she's modest.
Well, it's not even that she's modest. It explains that it is in a realistic scenario, in a realistic situation. You can't just in the middle of a battle stop, say, hang on, let me put myself in a different attire so that way I can regenerate myself.
True. But it made me start to question if she turns the suit inside out when you see her when she's sleeping in it, which is why I was like, oh my God, that's kind of cool. It's an actual suit. People keep mistaking her for a bear. It's freaking hilarious. She's like, I'm just a girl in a bear suit. And everyone's like, oh my God, a bear.
Right.
And I liked that mechanic of it because you could tell the mood of the location she's at by the reaction. If everyone's depressed, no one's going to care. No one's going to look twice at her. And it happens when she goes to a city and it's unfortunately destitute. You know, it's a poor city. They're struggling. No one gives her a sideways glance, but she goes in a metropolitan and everyone's like, what's a bear doing here? What's a bear doing there? You know?
Right. Yeah.
So the world building was really cool.
It was. And in her mind, it's still a game world.
She can still see all the stuff that you normally would.
Well, she can still see the things for her. So it's not like she can see the life bars of everyone else or status effects of whatever's going on. And so for her, it's still mentally she's in a game, but at the same time, she's really not in a game. And I love that even though it's for her, it's still kind of a game. It's evolving into, well, this really isn't a game and I'm developing these connections and I'm being more connected with everyone here more so than when I was connected to my real life family, the people in the real world. I had no connections there. Yeah. But where she is now is she's developing those connections. She's gaining those relationships and it's just, it's making her basically more human than what she's ever been before, I feel.
You know, I was actually going to, if you weren't going to say something like that, I was going to say she had to go into a virtual reality, into a game to understand what humanity actually is.
Yeah.
And I liked how just everything. So this is a little side tangent, but I'm going to try to keep it short. So I watch YouTube, obviously, and there's the creator of Phineas and Ferb. I forget what his name is. Great guy. Hilariously material. He mentions there's an A story and a B story. I never thought of that before, where the A story is the main plot and the B story is the stuff that happens to background characters, and they could happen randomly or in sequence if you pay attention. In here, and so I saw that maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and I'm noticing it freaking everywhere. Sometimes they're bad. Sometimes they're genius. Most times they're mediocre. But in this one, the B story, C story, D story, those all go on with our main character not there. And they're not necessarily learning. I don't know how you want to say it. They're not necessarily important or even mundane. They're a wide range. And what's really nice is they maintain consistency throughout the entire thing. Mm-hmm. For instance, the girl she first meets that helps her cut up the animals goes through her own story. And it's not a story you're focused on, but you can see the progression.
Yeah. And
when she sees the princess, you've got 1,000 people or 10,000 people they want to add to their group. That's obviously being progressed and you don't see it, but it's nice to know.
You know what I mean? And it's like that for a lot of other people too. So it's not like when they introduce a character, it's not just because there is meaning behind it. So, and I'll say this, they don't give a name or a character if it's not going to hold some weight in some fashion down the line.
What about the goblin she hit at first? The adventurer who's like, "You're not an adventurer." And she's
like, they keep referencing him all the way throughout the story.
I thought after episode 4, they stopped doing it.
No, they still referenced him.
Oh, I just stopped paying attention because I didn't see any progress with him.
And that's it, right? Because they kept referencing him because the people that he was associated with, the people he was a part of, were still there.
True.
And they even referenced like, "Hey, because of this, this is what ended up happening. And because of this, this is what ended up happening." You know, and it's a progression, but they included a lot of people. And whether it's like a minor point where they're in it or they're just mainly there to be a plot driving factor, like he was a plot driving factor, progressed. She was able to prove her strength, even though he was like one of the top guys there and everything like that. And one of the top ranking adventurers or this and that, it was still served as a plot moving device. And they didn't really let things like that go to waste. And I really enjoyed that. And sorry for getting so back to you so late, Katz, who's been lurking in our chat. Yes, we both, in case you can't tell, thoroughly loved it. And the books, if the books are even funnier and are more filled with bear puns than the show, which is kind of hard to even imagine, I am truly wanting to actually read it. I mean,
we're barely being able to contain ourselves.
Just barely.
Just bear with us.
It's all right. It's okay. This overall, though, is kind of mirroring a lot of the show styles that I'm finding myself more drawn to now than before. It's very lax. It's very calming. Yep. It's not, there's not a whole bunch going on. I don't have to worry about like getting ramped up. It's like something I can just like kind of watch, put on, watch, relax, and enjoy myself watching. And it's something that I thoroughly like. It's something I thoroughly enjoy.
You know, so this was what, one season ago?
Two seasons ago. It was last year. So it's 2020. So it's been four.
Oh, geez. Okay. So this reminds me, and I'm hoping it maintains the trajectory it's going on. So there's a new anime out. They came out, I think, last week, actually. It is reincarnated with the weakest something. And it's very similar. And it's very similar to this, where the main character is overpowered, knows it, and doesn't try to hide it. I don't know how that one's going to go. It's labeled isekai, but it's just like a reincarnation kind of thing.
It's kind of the same thing.
I mean, that's a debate for another time. I've seen so many people on both sides of that passionately going, that's not like same thing with same thing with people saying Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Both sides of the debate there.
I mean, I'm saying it has Christmas music, has Christmas theme.
Dude, it's around Christmas.
It takes place during Christmas. Like, I mean, like you even have like, Christmas music and in
Google
it.
Google says it's a Christmas movie. So I mean,
even Google, Amazon, everything is like Christmas movies. It's listed on there as a Christmas movie. Okay. Anyways.
Sorry. No, you and I are on the same page. I know people who are not and passionately not.
Sadly. they'll see the errors of their ways soon enough. Much like those girl, who decide to make live action anime. I'm just saying they'll soon see the errors of their way. Or they won't.
My girl's gonna listen to this and
you know,
hate me.
You'd never know. It's okay. It's all right. You know, it is what it is. And much like how the show is, it's not overwhelming when you watch.
Yeah, it's not pretentious. It gets out of its own way, which a lot of anime that start off really good don't do.
Yes.
They jump the shark a lot of the time. They try to one up what they just did. Whereas here it's nice.
It is.
You already know the outcome. There's no suspense. You already know the outcome. The only thing, it's like spoilers. This is going to sound stupid. Most of the time, I love spoilers. And the reason I love them is we all start at the same spot. We know where it's going to end. It's the journey I care about. So, for instance, you saw a problem. I'm going to use the giant squid as a perfect example. It was introduced. You know she's going to kick its ass.
Flat out. We don't know how.
There's no question.
We don't know in what way.
Exactly.
But
you know what's going to happen. But the journey to get there. That's where it was awesome. And then you saw really, and I liked the fact that her magic, her abilities were highly dependent on her mental viewpoint of it, how she imagined things going on. For instance, when she first tests it out, she goes, fireball. And then you know, it hits and explodes a little rock. And then she aims and goes, bear fireball? And just annihilates a little hill right behind the rock she's aiming at. And you're like, this is great. I love how you're able to isolate and depict what is what's the focus on. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool because if you take this to its logical conclusion, by the end of her whole spiel, by the end of her lifespan, let's call it, I don't know how long it's going to be, how short it's going to be. When you see it, you're looking and it's going to be where she's all about bears. Cause at first she was like, bears are all right, I guess. And next thing she's going to be like, have like a bear castle. Cause every house she makes is bear shaped. Every magic that's super strong, bear shaped. All of her attacks.
And it's because she even says like, I have to remember the more clear and bear-like the image is in my head, the stronger it is, the more powerful that magic is. And so she has to think everything in bear. And again, you know, at first she's very lackadaisy about it. Kuma Yuru, Kuma Q. Like, all right, well, bear and naming a bear and naming another bear in some fashion is is how it is. That's cool. But the more she embraces it, the more fun she has with it and everything. And the more that she embraces her friends and her counterparts.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't all about power.
Exactly. The more she grows. And that is something that I find better, you know?
Now, the only thing, I've got one complaint. I'm not going to call it a decent complaint because it's not going to stop me from recommending it. But the way that the relationship evolved and the way that the ages didn't progress as much as I would have liked them to.
Right.
Everyone is young. Everyone is incredibly young. 15, yeah. I think, is one of the older ones. 10, 11, 9, even. And you're like, okay, I want to relate to this character. But, like, you can't. That's elementary school status, you know?
Well, it's not that you can't relate to the character. It's that the character's ages are kind of like a stop gap or hard factor for you to kind of get past. Because what they're doing, it's not really age-related or age matter. It's like the age doesn't matter, like, this is what I got to go do. And this is what I'm going to go do. The main character is 15, 16. It's not like they're going out there going to elementary school every single day. And that's not the focus of the story. And that's what's really great is that this isn't the focus of the story. The focus of the story is her personal growth, which can happen to anyone at any age. And it's the same thing. Like, you and I, we're friends. If we're friends and it's like, well, you know, I don't feel like we're giving and getting and same thing in the relationship. I want to try and talk to you about that. I'm just have the same turmoils. I'm going to have the same struggles as Fina, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I want to talk to him about it, but I can't really talk to him about it. Or I feel like I'm kind of being needy, or I feel like I'm being this. It's not age restricted. Like the emotions and problems that they're having is, again, not age restricted.
And see, that's probably where you and I differ, because when I saw the story progress, where it was going, I kind of felt it was more adult than 10 years old. And I'm not saying it was like mature in the sense of, you know, like lovers or something like that. It made me think that there was a potential future between our main character and Fiona, or Fina. I don't know why I want to say Fiona. But it was far too young to be in my mind when I was watching that, to be like, I'm missing a part of my heart. I'm like,
well, the thing maybe is,
it was a translation or.
Well, no, I mean, the thing is what they're doing is they're saying, hey, no, I feel like we're siblings. We're brother and sister, or we're sisters in this case. I mean, like, you and I were brothers, right? Mm-hmm. I would feel pretty bad if we never talked or saw each other again. I would be a little heartbroken. Yeah. I would feel like a part of my heart is missing. It's like, you know, you have been a monumental part of my life. And I would have to say this is kind of the same thing. Fina relies heavily on Yuna for personal growth in more way than one. And it's not that she's in love with her to marry her. She's in love with her because she sees her as a confidant friend, mentor, someone that she can rely on, someone that is a driving force or a driving factor for her to improve herself on.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Everything you just said about the way the relationship is and is portrayed is spot on, except for the last episode, in my opinion. It could be that I could be projecting. It's very possible. But when I watched that, I felt like they were trying to put more age on it. And I was like, it's a bit, I think, a bit tasteless. I think they could have done differently. Like, hey, I miss you. But the way that they made it feel, the way I felt watching it, was like someone was trying to confess, but didn't quite know how to. You know what I mean?
I could see that.
That's where I went with it. And I'm like, the entire show, I was looking at siblings more than anything else. And this last one was, it felt like I was trying to be pushed in the direction of more.
No, I get that. I understand that. I can see that.
I don't mind stuff like that.
No,
it's just, I felt everyone was a bit too young for that.
Well, and see, I guess that's like kind of the difference in viewpoints that you and I see. I didn't see it so much of that. I saw it more of a, she was, you know, she had spent a lot of time, you know, with Yuna, being mm-hmm. friends, doing everything she can for her, growing. And it's like, well, now I feel like the person who saved my life, my best friend, just doesn't have time for me anymore. I feel like I'm not important in her life. Like, I'm just kind of there, and it's not needed.
That would have been an amazing route to go.
And they did do that. It's just not the way that you were wanting. Right. So for you, how you interpreted it was differently, but that how I interpreted it was just exactly like that. It's just different perspective, different views, you know? Like, you don't care if I just disappear off the face of the earth. I care if you disappear off the face of the earth.
So I would hunt down and mercilessly torture anybody who knew anything. I'd be like, Jack's wife, what did you do to him?
I buried the body in the backyard. You helped me bury him, remember?
He went for milk? When did he go for milk? How long ago?
It's like, well, you should know. You took him.
He's got puppies waiting for him.
All four of them.
Yeah.
All right. All jokes aside, sir, on a scale on up to 10.
So all jokes aside, this is getting a solid, like, I can't get it a more solid 9. The only reason it does not get a 10, and I genuinely mean this, the only reason I'm not giving it a 10 is because how I viewed the very last episode.
Okay.
Like, I would have done it better. They could be meaning what you said, but I find it very hard to see it that way. And it could be me.
Okay.
So
no, that's 100% fair. I am giving this a 1 because it was just so horrible. So bad.
I figured it's number 1. I agree. It's number
1. No, I am the reason why I'm going to go with a 10 on this one is because thoroughly enjoyed it. I would actually watch this again multiple times.
I would too.
I would recommend it to people. I would gladly say this is something that you will enjoy. It's very, very calming, very relaxing. It is very much a breath of fresh air. You know, just to bear it all out, you know, it was great.
It bears all.
It does bear all. I can't bear to not watch it.
Yeah, no, this would be something that I would be very comfortable introducing to somebody, have them look at me weird, and then one episode in, they'd be like, all right, I get it.
Exactly. This is one of those shows where I literally, honestly, I enjoyed it. The music was great. The atmosphere was great. The animation threw me off at first. It was like, well, why does it look like that? Okay, I get why. And then it's like, you know what? I understand why they went this route. I 100% understand why they went this route and everything that was happening. I understand exactly why they went this way. And you know, and I found myself, I'm going to be honest, I had to force myself to stop watching it halfway through the season. I legitimately watched the entire half the season. I was like, here we are, 1:30 in the morning. I really got to go to bed. I really have to get some sleep. I can't sit here and watch this. You know, it's like those memes. It's like one more episode later. Well, it was definitely one more episode later for me.
Just one more. That's all I need. Just one more.
So it took two days to watch this. And it was like, by the time it was done, I was like, oh, I wish there was more. And luckily, there supposedly is a season 2 coming, which I don't have dates. I don't have time. I don't have information. But if it's anything like the first season, I know I'm going to love it. And I can't wait for it.
I'm, I'm afraid of season two. If I'm being 100%, I'm afraid of season two.
Me too. The expectation is now so high. If it doesn't even meet it, it's going to be a letdown. Yeah. But you know what? If it's even, and here's my viewpoint on this. If it's even half as good as season one, I'll be happy. Won't be a 10. I can
see that.
I guarantee you it won't be a 10, but I'll be happy. All right. So, yeah.
And you know, I mean, for prosperity, whatever it is, to make sure that we're on the up and up when season two comes out, and if season two comes out and we have to review it, I think a good refresher for season one would be to rewatch it just to get in the right mindset, you know?
Oh, that won't be a problem. that won't be an issue. All right, sir. So next week, your choice.
So
I do. You did tell me beforehand, before we started.
I did.
You want me to say it for you?
Well, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. So I heard really good things about this anime, and I
never heard of that anime before.
I forgot the name. Damn it. I was trying to stall so I'd look it up.
It's the world's finest assassin gets reincarnated in another world as an Aristocat. Now, to my argument as to, you know, to go back, right? This literally has isekai in the name. Isekai. It doesn't matter if you're dead or if you're transported while you're alive. You're getting sent to the new world. It's an isekai. I mean, it is in the name.
I mean, I agree with you.
That being said, it is been truly, truly great watching this. I hope all of you enjoyed this week's choice. If you've seen it, haven't seen it, whatever, we both actually recommend you watch it. If we got something right, got something wrong, anything like that, feel free to reach out to us. featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. At those anime guys on Twitter, featured anime podcast on Facebook. We're always hanging out in our Discord, or at least I know for a fact I am. Rick's usually in there kind of lurking around. Link for that's going to be in the notes. Important. Yeah, no, you don't. but we would love to have you. And if you want to support us, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com or $1 a month on our Patreon. We'll get you some bonus content. And as again, we stated earlier at the beginning of the show, Cowboy Bebop live action, that's going to be coming here within the next week. And it is something I know Rick is thoroughly, thoroughly looking forward to.
You know, for every 10, there's got to be a 1. Balance is the key, right?
Balance is the key.
We're walking away from a 9 to look just flat in the face of a 1.
All right. Well, till next time, I'm Jack.
Damn. And I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.